This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes. You'll find her information on kboo.fm. You can also check out Bread and Roses on KBOO's website, kboo.fm/breadandroses, or on Facebook under KBOO Bread and Roses Women's News. Tonight, we continue an ongoing conversation about the importance of self-care with local author and community spark, Della Ray. Della Ray is an entrepreneur who has spent her career engaging people in this town to act together for the common good. She has founded 3 nonprofits and 1 for-profit business, including Sisters of the Community and DonorsResource.org. And she is the recipient of several awards, including the Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield Hero Award. Through all these experiences and successes, she learned the importance of self-care. The notion that to do well, one must first be well. Della Ray went on to write Little Book of Self-Care, a book that shares the simple yet vital principles of self-care. And after reading it, it became clear to me that self-care is ultimately soul care. It's about going deep for the answers, finding what feels authentic for each person, and then operating out in the world from that place of self-awareness and personal integrity. And it's so important for people out there doing good work in the world to take care of themselves so that we have that energy to do what needs to be done. Della Ray was our guest on Bread and Roses last August and is back tonight to talk about her experiences since the launch of her self-care campaign. It was her mission to share her book and message at health fairs, conferences, workshops, and presentations throughout the area. She's going to talk about some of the connections she made there with attendees and what she's learned in the process. Welcome, Della Ray.
Hey, good evening, Leanne. Thank you so much for having me back. Really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. So, Della, for those listening who haven't read your little book of self-care or heard the show last August, do you mind talking about what your understanding of self-care is and all that it encompasses?
What a big question, but it's really a simple answer. And what I have learned around self-care and just how the best way to explain it to people is we first have to be well before we can do well. We often get out and start doing a bunch of things and we're not sure really who we are or what's important to us. So it makes it really difficult to do well when we're not first well from the inside out. So in writing this book, after all of my experiences with starting new businesses and whatnot, I realized the importance for me, how important it was that I figured out what was my calling and what made me feel good versus what did not work. And while I received a lot of accolades and whatnot for my work, what really rang true for me is how I felt about my work, not the work itself. And I felt this is a great message for other people to be able to stop and breathe and take time to understand the simplicity in what's important to us.
Mm-hmm. In the book, you make it clear that it's individualized for each person.
Yes.
I love that concept. And it doesn't matter what it is that moves you or drives you. It's okay.
Right.
Just be, you know, face it, own it,
right,
and operate from a knowing.
One of the examples I readily give is that it doesn't matter if you are a starving student or an executive making 6 figures. Your needs are different. But if you're happy in those spaces you're in, it is not inducive to what it is you're doing, but how you feel.
There's so much to talk about under the umbrella of self-care. Some of the chapters in your book, You talk about the importance of personal integrity, knowing yourself, following your instincts, and those things drive when you set your intention.
Right.
You say that these concepts build on each other.
Yes.
Do you mind talking about that? Some of the initial questions that a person might begin to ask themselves.
Sure, but I think I want to go back and say one thing, and I always launch off and keep going without really standing on something that's so important about self-care, and that is, this is something that is not taught to us. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people, as I've been out on the campaign, have asked a lot of questions about self-care itself and trying to figure it out. Well, really, self-care is something that we're not taught. So how do we know what it is? And I think I'll just be really free here and say, you know, most people that I have met, you know, I ask the question, well, you know, when you were growing up, did someone tell you, hey, you know, think about yourself? But where most of us are told to consider other people's feelings, think about what somebody else will say. Don't make too much of a ruckus. We want to make sure that everybody else around us is comfortable. So we're raised with these principles around what's important. And typically what we're taught is what's important for someone else. And if, in fact, we take time to think about ourselves, that's labeled as narcissism. So I really wanted to talk a little bit more about that and the importance of stopping and it being okay that self-care is not something that we know about because it's not something that we're taught. Really want to get that in.
Yeah. As I read the book, I was thinking that, you know, in some cases, people might be connecting to themselves for the first time.
Right.
You know, and that's a sad thought. But it's, you understand why.
Right.
There's a reason.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So another thing, so many things I could talk about, Della, but I like how you really, as I mentioned earlier, you mentioned that it's a very inward search. Mm-hmm. It's personalized. Mm-hmm. One person's self-care is different than another. Mm-hmm. And we've been shaped mm-hmm. and driven by different impulses. And in terms of practicing self-care, mm-hmm. not only do you say the answers are within, but you kind of flip the notion that, you know, I want to follow these principles because it'll make me a good person out in the world. Mm-hmm. Instead, you flip it and you say, I care enough about myself to do these things. You put the emphasis on yourself.
Right, right. Because, you know, one of my number one things that I believe is that we teach the world, this world that we believe that we want to prep ourselves for, but we teach that world how to treat us by how we treat ourselves. So if, in fact, we're out looking for recognition and acceptance in the outside world, yet we haven't figured out really what that is on the inside, we're teaching that very thing that we want to be something that we don't even know what it is. So that makes us run in circles, and that creates a lot of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that once we really understand, have one idea of what's important to us, then we can act on that and be with that. And then again, we can teach the world and teach people around us how to treat us, because the way they learn is by how we treat ourselves.
And it seems that the biggest obstacle to practicing self-care are distractions.
Mm-hmm.
They come in so many forms.
Yes.
And they keep us, as Della has taught me, they keep us stuck, bonded
yes.
to the past, or we're unable to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind talking about what some of those distractions are?
Sure. One big one that I talk to a lot of people about, and I have a lot of private clients that I work with and people that I talk to, that we get caught up in ideas from the past that we believe that we need to stop and wrestle down and figure it out and strip it down and give it meaning and have and keep running it through in our minds over and over again. When what works is to recognize that this thing, whatever it is there, and to make peace with it. And every time it comes up, recognize it and make peace with it versus trying to say, well, this came from this and this and the other thing. Because once you really start to get into the understanding of how it all works, unless until you're able to let go of that thing, it will keep coming up. So you don't need to worry about wrestling it down because it will keep coming up unless and until you can make peace with it anyways. Are you with me? I mean, do you feel that?
Yeah. When I have an issue, I think I have to untie every knot to have peace.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I consider myself a capable mind, and some problems, though, just I can't find the answer.
Right.
And it's a crazy making process.
Yes, absolutely. Well, how do you feel when you keep trying to find the answer?
You know, there's a part of me that feels like I'm really breaking this down. And mm-hmm. when I break it down, I can tell other women, you know, there's a part of me that likes to, you know, break it down and share my experience.
Right.
But it's not healthy.
Right, right. And so can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Why do you feel like it's not healthy, though?
Well, you know, I'll just be frank here. As Della and I were preparing for this show, she counseled me twice. I mean, you practice what you speak. And and we were having this very conversation about mm-hmm. this tendency of mine. And you just, again, had in your way, you flipped it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you know, instead of focusing on what said person did to moi,
mm-hmm.
you flip it and say, you know, what's important to me? Mm-hmm. What am I learning about myself? In this instance, something revealed itself mm-hmm. that I really do care about these things. And
right.
when they're not met, I feel that a certain
right.
way.
Right.
And so it's a way to take your mistakes, learn mm-hmm. and learn from them.
Right.
And find meaning even in a knot you can't untie. You know,
right.
And the main thing I got from it was that it frees up the headspace so I can focus on my next thing. It frees you up to, quote, do you.
Right, right.
And that's liberating mm-hmm. to think in those terms.
Right.
You know, that's more important to me than finding the answer to some bad thing that occurred.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, Leanne, I just want to say in no certain terms that this is not about some woo-woo way to get through anything. It's just really it's about peeling the onion back to its basic level and just saying, okay, this is something that's there. And I really am adamant about my message that goes out to people and that I talk to is saying, you know, it's a practice, it's mm-hmm. a choice, and it's not something that just happens. It's really making the choice, say, okay, I'm going to recognize this that keeps coming up, or I'm going to just take time. And there's no limit on what time works for you. And I also really want to say that everybody's journey is different. And like right now, just what I was saying before we came on the show was like, I'm in the middle of something right now and I'm having to stop and really pay attention to my thoughts because I still, after writing the book, after knowing what I want to know, you know, it's really a practice and mm-hmm. I still want to go against what I know to be true. So I just really want to make that point.
Yeah. Do you mind talking a little bit more about the lifelong practice of it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think reading the book, I thought the way it's written, and folks, if you want to get this book, we're speaking to Della Ray. It's a little book of self-care, and I'm just going to throw that out right now. We've been talking about it so much. You can get it at DellaRae.net, DellaRae.net. And the way it's written, it's so condensed and clear, and I don't, when I say simple, I say it in the highest way. And so you read it and you think, I get this. This all makes perfect sense. Why didn't I just get this naturally? This is the way it should be. But, you know, months later, you know, I'm still calling you up and saying, okay, I can't quite mm-hmm. understand how this applies. It's an unlearning of our mm-hmm. conditioning, as you pointed out, that we aren't taught.
Right.
We're taught quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught that it's a bad trait to focus there. We're selfish.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So I I want to wrap this around intention, because that's something you brought up earlier. When I wrote the book, the intention was to put some experience down on paper to share what I learned as a result of the importance of just taking time to figure out this whole concept of taking care of ourselves first in order to do the things that I want to do. Because it really doesn't make sense. For me, it did not make sense to keep accomplishing things and doing things, yet not feeling great about those things. Because I was thinking I did not want to get caught up in a bottomless pit that I had to keep doing more and more. And then what was my point of feeling satisfied? And a lot of us get caught up in the, I need to do this, I need to go here, I need to be there. And maybe you do. But how do you know if you're not sure about how you feel about yourself? And I use the example all the time that, you know, there's people that go to yoga and there's people that run, there's people that do these different things. But unless you know what's important to you, how do you really know yoga is what you're really, is what you really want to be doing? Is it because you're being told that because you read it everywhere? Or is it how you really feel? And it's just about taking that minute to say, okay. And it's learning to pacify ourselves from the inside out versus needing outside in.
Absolutely. And you say that when a person is operating from that place mm-hmm. of awareness mm-hmm. and I'm me and I'm being driven by my personal passions, mm-hmm. people know it. You mm-hmm. mentioned people sense that.
Yes, they do. And when we get to the point that we realize that it's no one else's responsibility to make us happy, not our spouses, not our significant others, not our dogs. when we say, okay, you know, I can figure this out and I can take care of myself. And again, it's part of the pot that I'm in right now. As I sit in this chair and have this interview, I'm really having to dig deep on that one. And I know better, but this is, again, going back to what you said, it's part of the work and in the journey.
You know, a couple of times in the little book of self-care, I liked your choice of words because it made it clear that you say something, for instance, you say, I held alliance with my instincts. Mm-hmm. You say, I took solidarity with self-care. The word, using wording like that makes it clear that you've made almost a solemn oath to yourself
yes.
to practice this, that, you know, from now on, you're going to commit your, you know, focus to yourself.
Right.
And it's a, like with any oath we take, you know, it's a matter of just trying your best. To,
right.
Yeah.
And realizing that your best is good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like right now, mm-hmm. and right now, and what I'm looking at right now, my best is good enough, and I will choose to take care of myself when I can and as I'm able.
And it, in turn, it changes the way I see others,
yes.
other people. I'm like, they're on their own path, and mm-hmm. it just draws out compassion.
Yeah.
You kind of go easier on yourself.
Yes.
Therefore, you go easier on others. If you're at peace in your mind,
right,
your peace.
Right.
It emanates.
Right. And that I really want to talk about other people, but I'm not sure if we can go there right now because it gets deep.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, other people, I believe that is our single largest distraction. And I just blogged about this the other day about, you know, that whole, I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook and everywhere about the call to unite. You know, it's like, we need to unite. We need to, and it talks about they and them. So to take them out of power, we need to unite.
Right.
And so I just ask people to just think about that one notion. And it's much easier than we know it to be. Because once we really get clear about who we are and what's important to us, and we choose to be with that, and we let go of judgment and criticism of other people mm-hmm. and step into the space of, when we are doing what really makes us happy, that we don't really have time to criticize other people. Therefore, unity happens by default. You with me on that one?
I am with you.
So it's a very simple thought
right.
for a big thing. And
exactly.
it's one of the ways then that, I think that's a huge way that we allow other people to cause a distraction. And I think that's like the number two thing people say to me when they start talking to me, when I'm talking one-on-one with someone. They say, well, you know, my sister, my brother, my employer, they start naming all these people that are causing problems for them. And I listen, and I listen, and it's always, well, now, if this person is really causing this problem for you, is it the person, or what is it that you're putting out that allows all of that? Why is it, why are you so distracted by this?
Mm-hmm.
And so we get caught up, and but it's so much easier though to focus on other people.
Yeah. But it's so freeing when you don't, you
know, it is so,
and you don't know until you try.
Right,
you know?
It's
incredible all the things that start to kind of, once you kind of begin to shift your focus,
right,
the things that occur,
right,
it's, you don't even,
right,
they're profound,
right,
from a very simple little change.
Little, and that's the thing, little, easy, small.
Natural.
Right.
You know? We are speaking with Della Ray, Portland local. She's done amazing things in our community, and she's written a little book of self-care. We're going to take a little musical break, but when we come back, we're going to speak with Della about her experiences the last few months out in the community, taking this book and her vision out and talking to women and men in our town. We'll hear more about that in just a little while. You're listening to Bread and Roses.
Light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. All in my home, I'm gonna let it shine. All in my room, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine, the road is dark, the way was long, kept on singing that freedom song. My God promised me a rainbow sign, just gotta let my little light shine. Don't give up, don't back down, don't let the liar turn you around. My heart's fixed, made up in mind, I'm going out and let my little light shine. You're gonna let my little light shine. All in the streets, I'm gonna let it shine. On the battlefield, I'm gonna let it shine. See, now I ain't gonna fight no rich man's war. That ain't what God's gonna use me for. Killing ain't in my line. Sure ain't no way to let my little light shine. Shine on me, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. You can't fool all the people all the time. Get together, let our little light shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
That was Mavis Staples with This Little Light of Mine, the best version of that song I've ever heard. Beats Vacation Bible School. That was off her We'll Never Turn Back record, and I found it really interesting. That was produced by Rye Cooter in 2007. It's kind of a theme album honoring the civil rights movement. Check it out. We are Bread and Roses on KBOO. Our guest tonight, local author and entrepreneur and community spark, Della Ray. We're talking about her little book of self-care. And for the last few months, since October, Della, you've been bringing this book out into the community at different events and happenings. Do you mind telling folks what you've been up to and what your vision was for the self-care campaign?
Well, you know, Leanne, the whole thought was that I would go out into the community in different venues and talk about self-care, but I really thought it would be more in line with book readings and more casual type settings. But what happened was I was hired by different organizations to do lectures and workshops and presentations in business settings, going in and talking to employees. So that really surprised me in a way, because I was sure that the message would be received and then that would be it. And it was like, okay, we've read the book. And then people started saying, you know, we want to talk more about this, and specifically in business settings. So I had to adjust my thinking a little bit in how to relate the message through the lens of business, so self-care through the lens of business and people who are going to work every day and or that have specific projects going on, or when I'm going to go speak to affinity groups, if you will. And one of the things that really that helped make the connection was talking to people about their personal brand, which I know that's something that you really like to hear more about, that we talked about earlier. And personal brand is a way to think about it in terms of this. So you look at companies like Target, Starbucks, Nike. You're very clear what those companies are and what they do, right?
Mm-hmm. You know what you're going
to
get.
You know what you're going to get. So you wouldn't go to Target and try to sell them oil. I mean, I know that's a stretch, but I'm just getting an example out here. So they've been very clear about their brand. And if you see a red bullseye anywhere, you don't even need to see the name Target. You know that that's Target. And so what I ask people to think about too, about their own personal brand. So
Good metaphor for business setting.
Right. So it's like, what is your personal brand? Because the company you work for, you know why you're here, you know what you're here to do. What does the company know about you? What do your friends know about you?
What do you represent?
Right. Mm-hmm. So are you the one that's the catch-all that's going to show up, the person that they can ask? You're working so busy, you're so running so hard all the time. So then people know that, well, she's busy, so we'll just go ahead. She seems to love to be running around, so we'll ask her to do something else. Is that your brand, right? We often forget about how important it is who we are and what we're kicking out as well, is around our brand. When I say kicking it out, I mean what messages we're sending out. And we haphazardly just kind of live in our worlds in a way, and especially in professional settings. Yet we're thinking in the back of our mind, well, I'm going for this promotion, or I'm going to go do this. Yet our behavior does not indicate that's what we're after. And I use in the book, I talk about, you know, people who are running here and there. They're doing everything. And when you go to an event, you see them. They're always there. And it's like, oh, how are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm so busy. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. And I've been doing this. And then that same person who talks about how busy they are, is the first person to get asked to sit on another board. They're the first person to get asked to sit on another committee, because people realize that they're willing to run and burn the candle at both ends. Mm-hmm. And that same person has the nerve to wonder why they're so tired. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's all a part of personal brand. And that same personal brand relates to when you ask somebody what they do, and they really, you know, for a profession, they're they list, they say, well, and I do this and I do that. And you're about the second thing in, you've tuned out. This is all about self-care. And it's self-care takes care of itself in so many different ways, and it presents in so many different ways. But this is one way, going back to how I've been able to talk about the message in a professional setting. Mm-hmm. And it's been really effective and very surprising.
As you were talking, I was realizing that most of us, I think, have a few personal brands that mm-hmm. we slap on in different settings.
Right.
You know, the person you act like at work
mm-hmm.
and at home with your parents, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's so, and then self-care would be, I would think, a way to just group all those brands together,
right,
and define yourself,
right,
and then be that way,
right,
regardless of
sure.
where you are.
Sure. And, you know, and again, this is not to say if you're at a rock concert, you know, getting your party on, you know, you're going to be different, sure, than you are sitting at your grandmother's table having tea, for
mm-hmm.
sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who you are underlying, right, is what is around the message that I want people to think about. So who you are sitting there having tea and how you feel is the same as you feel as you're at the rock concert. But I just want to dial this back and say, unless and until you want to even know what that is or take time to just look at, you know, what's consistent for you, it's really hard to go way out and say, well, all these, you have all these different things going on, and I have all these different things going on. How can I be? How can I know who I am? Well, when you start looking at things that keep coming up for you, that's a way to get to know who you are. This is, again, this is not rocket science. When you take the time to, you know, like we were talking about earlier, and you can see now, just in this little bit of time we're talking, how it all makes a circle mm-hmm. and it all feeds on each other. So it's not complicated.
Going back to I'm still stuck on the business setting.
Sure.
I'm just imagining the
yes.
implications. I've spent time in corporate America.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, as you spoke with groups in those settings, it seems to me that if the management and the employees can really buy into this concept, mm-hmm. that it would promote a more diverse kind of healthy environment
mm-hmm.
in the culture, instead of people kind of, I feel in that setting, I kind of would dampen my light a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people would find out I was in a band and almost faint.
Right.
They couldn't put the two together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I'm curious, did you have any sort of feedback from the managers in those settings? Are personal brands tolerated?
Well, no, that's a great question. And so, again, what I believe is that from my experience, for one specific presentation that I did, and I did it twice to the same group of people, and they were in the financial industry, and I walked them through some exercises that really helped them to make the connection about who they are, you know, what they're feeling at that time. And, you know, the word feeling in a business setting, I was really hesitant to use that word, but I thought, okay, but this is a part of my brand, so I need to just be careful with that word, but use it. And it was really surprising. And people do want to know. And that's the big thing that just blew me over, is that people do want to know. They want to know. They want to make the connection. They want to have some different tools, if you will, to be able to navigate their life, because there's so many things that are pulling at us. But back to the questions that would come up, and what managers would say was like, you know, this was a great way for us to have time in a way that promoted something that we haven't talked about, which is who you are outside of what we're asking you to do. And in a way that was non-threatening, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is non-threatening when we talk, because people get to kind of walk through their own process. But I believe businesses are starting to realize in bigger ways that in order to get the things that they need done, happier people need to show up. And happier people are people that have an idea of what's important to them, and they feel okay in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see how that feeds on each other? So to answer your question, my feedback has been, especially in professional settings, that, wow, this gives our employees the opportunity to open the window, if you will, and realize that when they're happy in themselves, they can do better at work and they can find work more satisfying versus this being another chore.
It might also drive what direction they take in their career.
Yes.
You know, if everyone knows who they are,
yes,
opportunities can come their way. Mm-hmm. It creates a synergy that would not happen any other way.
Right.
Wow. So besides business settings, did you take it elsewhere as well?
So I talked to a lot of women's philanthropy groups, a lot of clubs, and I'm scheduled to speak at the 2013 Women's Conference, and a lot of different associations, as well, a lot of those. And mostly what people are seeking was more around the story about me building Donors Resource and then how did I get to where I am today. So they want to hear, because you have to think a lot of these people that are in clubs and groups are looking for inspiration. So the story that I would share with them is around, you know, building Donors Resource and then being able to get them to understand that, you know, what I shared earlier was building Donors Resource and then realizing how important taking care of myself is in this process. So again, a lot of positive feedback from people who were there looking for a way to make their own connection.
We're speaking with Della Ray, author of The Little Book of Self-Care. She's been, since October, she's been on a self-care campaign, appearing in our community, talking about the importance of finding out what you're all about and from then on, operating what's best for you. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take another little quick musical break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of Della Ray's future plans. Exciting future on KBOO. We'll be right back on Bread and Roses. That was Ziggy Marley with True to Myself off of Dragonfly. You're listening to Bread and Roses, Women's News and Public Affairs on KBOO. Our guest tonight, local author and entrepreneur Della Ray. We're talking about her little book of self-care. And in this last segment, Della, you're busy. You got things going on in our community. Why don't you let folks know where they might be able to connect with you?
So what I want to say is that as a result of the presentations and workshops I've been doing, what really became clear to me is that we need to have more venues where we bring in people to talk about and share presentations and topics around our well-being. And so I thought, let's put together some lectures and fairs for people to come in at no cost to them, be able to hear great speakers like who we have coming up here at the end of April, Linda Hartling, and she is a PhD with humiliation studies, and that's a big word. And
when I heard about that there were humiliation studies,
yes,
I was like, whoa, that's a new school of thought, much needed.
Right, and it's just, you can come and listen and see what she has to say, but I've known Linda for a long time, and the real root of it is around taming the shame that we have around so many things. And so what I really want to bring to the community is speakers and presentations and exhibitors who, you know, reflexologists and different types of folks who want to share well-being from the inside out. So that next lecture is coming up on April 28th, and you can find information on my website.
Why don't you tell folks what that is?
It's DellaRae.net.
DellaRae.net.
Yes. And I'm also planning one for October. So in April, it's going to be on the west side. And in October, we're going to set up a larger lecture and fair on the east side, and we're pinning down a location now because the size keeps growing, which I'm really excited about.
Did you tell folks the location of this one yet?
So yeah, on the west side, it's going to happen in Southwest Portland, and on the east side, probably obviously in Northeast on the east side, but we're looking for a location because the size of the event has grown. So we're really excited about it.
And this Be Well lecture and fair that you have scheduled for Sunday, April 28th, I just want to let folks know it is free, open to the public. Mm-hmm. It will be taking place at Mount Park Rec Center in Lake O, and 1 to 4.
Yes.
The lectures begin at 1:30.
Yes.
Do you mind talking about what you've got? I was pretty impressed with all you've lined up for that.
Yeah. So, again, Linda Hartling is speaking. Sherry Sakanagi, who's going to talk about sugar and stress, which is a big one, you know. And I really want to keep my mind wrapped around how we feel. And so a lot of the lectures that I'm lining up are about how we feel. And I just think throwing a little bit of health in there is good. Our other speaker is going to be Jennifer Tanich, who has a really vast background with communication, and she's going to be talking about how to better relationships through, you know, positive communication, which Jennifer runs parent groups, and she does all kinds of really positive work. So really excited about what she's going to bring to the event on Sunday.
Yeah, it seems that it's really as because in the same way that self-care is comprehensive,
sure,
the event you're putting together is really, it takes care of body, mind, spirit.
Right.
It's really holistic.
Right.
Very cool. Good luck.
Holistic without being too dreamy. That's my thing. I really want to be, you know, keep it where it's common sense, straightforward, where people are not going to be uncomfortable and thinking that we're going to start, you know, holding hands. And, you know, it's really about the lecture, and it's about the opportunity to connect with people who offer services that help us from the inside out, plain and simple.
Right. You know, we've all been to those workshops that you've described. And
right.
This is not it. This is not that.
No.
And the book is not that. It's
right.
Different. And it's, I think, your personal brand of being direct and
No nonsense, straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's really important because it takes away. And I will say that I've had a lot of men as well join, come to events, and you have to think I'm in professional settings all the time. And it's really, I think it's more helpful to be inclusive than exclusive, and being inclusive by just speaking in straightforward, easy to understand ways.
Right.
Yes.
It also kind of removes barriers.
Sure.
You know, people, there are enough blocks for people to let this information in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the stuff.
Just the stuff. And what you do with it is what you do with it. But here it is, not just straight and clean and without a bunch of fluff.
And Bread and Roses is thrilled to announce that Della Ray has decided to join our collective. And in the next many months, you're going to be continuing to bring this information to the airwaves. Would you like to talk about your vision for your upcoming radio series?
Sure. I'm really excited. First, I am really excited about joining the collective and being an active participant in all that Bread and Roses means. I believe it or not, I have no words. So, again, I really want to talk about this subject, self-care, by bringing on voices around the subject, people who are experiencing different pieces of their journey, the way they look at self-care, why it's important to them. I want to talk to people that bring on authors who have written about it, local. I really want to keep it all local. But I really want to open up the idea that people are experiencing different spaces with self-care, and what it means to me may mean something different to someone else. Mm. And I come from a space that I believe if we start having these conversations, then we all are opened up to have the opportunity to have access and connect. Because it's our first thing to think, well, that person couldn't possibly understand or be dealing with anything like what I'm dealing with. So I just want to peel back that onion. And that's what I hope that the Be Well Show does, is provides opportunity for people to go, oh, that's another way to think about that. Mm-hmm. And that, again, very simple, very straightforward.
Do you want to announce the first date of that show, debut?
I would love to. I believe it is Friday, April 26th, 6 o'clock.
On KBOO, Bread and Roses.
Bread and Roses.
Yeah, so we are excited that you're joining, and we have a caller. If somebody has a really quick comment, we have time.
Yeah, sure.
I just had a really quick question. I was wondering if your guest tonight is familiar at all with the work of Ayn Rand and her philosophy of objectivism, because what she's saying tonight really sounds a lot like that kind of individualistic philosophy.
You know, I know Ayn Rand. Do you, Della?
I do not, but it sounds interesting.
I've read the book, and it's quite a different emphasis. You know, it's not narcissism. You know, it's not the individual, everyone else be damned, or, you know, it's really has a different flavor. And if you want to check out more information about it, your website, DellaRae.net. You know, check it out, and, you know, call back during the series, of
please.
Course. It would be because I had similar concerns. Mm-hmm. Am I going to become this raging narcissist if I do this? Mm-hmm. It's kind of part of the process and understanding that this is not what we've been taught it is.
Sure.
It's not objectivism. Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, please do check out the site, and I welcome you. Again, the first show is going to be on April 26th, and I definitely welcome you to call back.
Well, you can see where I'm coming from, though, because it's like the whole society, the whole culture is built around looking out for number one. So it doesn't strike me as any great insight to start putting yourself first and, you know, looking out for number one. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Della.
Yeah, no. You know, I do. I do hear where you're coming from, and it is a concern. But where I'm coming from is more around how you think and feel about yourself, not what you do, as in putting yourself necessarily first in front of anybody else, but taking the time to stop and think about how you feel about you, which is a gift.
Okay, I'll be sure and check out your book.
Please do, and call back.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for the call. Della, do you mind telling folks once again about your website so they can get more,
sure,
delve into this?
Sure. Again, okay. To connect with information and lectures and workshops and the date of the debut show, please visit my website, www.dellarae.net, Della, DELLARAE.net.
Della Rae, thank you so much for being our guest, and we are so excited to welcome you to the collective and look forward to your work.
Yeah, no, thank you, Leanne, and thank you, Danielle, for doing an amazing job from the booth. I feel great. Thank you.
You've been listening to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs on KBOO. I'm Leanne Kranz, and our engineer has been Danielle Parks. Once again, we're collective run and open to new members, so if you're interested, you don't have to be in front of the mic. You can be behind the scenes in many capacities. Think about it and get in touch with Ani Haynes here at KBOO.FM. And I have a couple of announcements before we go out with a song. Tonight is a brand new show on KBOO at 7 o'clock. Brace yourselves. It is a sports show, Citizens Sports Report. They're going to discuss the social dynamics of women in contact sports, such as roller derby and football. Interesting first topic. Good luck, guys. And also, I have a community announcement. We love to share information with the community from women out there doing cool things. Tonight, you all can go salsa dancing. There is a Cuban salsa dance featuring Virginia Lopez of Melao de Cuba. It's taking place at Mississippi Pizza Pub. That's 3552 North Mississippi Avenue. It's an over 21 show, $7 at the door. Dance lessons begin at 9 p.m. with Tony Gonzalez. Music goes from 9 to midnight. The song we're going to play going out is written and performed by Virginia Lopez of Melao de Cuba. And okay, Virginia, the gringa's going to pronounce this now. Erañan Kinya.
Poyuba, moyuba, 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 lorisa, moyuba, 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 lorisa, moyuba, moyuba, moyuba. Moyuba lorisa, moyuba, 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 moyuba lorisa. Ako elewa bukenke, ako elewa bukenke, ako elewa bukenke, ako elewa bukenke.
Araña quiña, quiña loro, araña quiña, araña quiña, quiña loro. You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, your community radio station. Also heard around the world at www.kbu.fm. The time is 58 minutes after 6 o'clock. Up next is special programming. Instead of Hard Knock Radio, we are going to do a special pilot project called Citizens Sports Show. All sports, all commentary on sports, in just a few minutes, so stay tuned.
Did you know that KBOO's daily evening newscast is produced by a team of volunteers right here in our Portland studios? If you've got some extra time and would like to get free training in radio news production, come on down to the studio and get involved. You can learn interviewing, writing, editing, and production skills, all for free, in a fun and supportive environment. Call KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes, at 503-231-8032 to get involved. That number again is 503-231-8032 to volunteer with KBOO Evening News.
KBOO Community Radio continues the broadcast of the 2013 Illahi Lecture Series on Tuesday, March 19th, when we broadcast a talk by John Stauber.
Founder of the Center of Media Democracy, John Stauber is an independent writer, organizer, and activist. He has co-authored 6 books, including the bestsellers Toxic Sludge is Good for You, Trust Us, We're Experts, and New York Times bestseller Weapons of Mass Deception. In 1993, he founded the nonprofit Center for Media and Democracy in Madison.
John will be speaking at the First Congregational Church in Portland, and KBOO will broadcast the talk live at 7 p.m., Tuesday, March 19th. More information can be found at kboo.fm/Illahi2013.
Good evening, Portland. Welcome to the pilot episode of the Citizen Sports Report. This is KBOO's exploration into the stories and some of the issues that are ignored by mainstream sports media. I'm part one of the equation in the booth tonight, and my name's Jeremy.
I'm the other part. I'm Ben. On tonight's show, we are going to explore the social dynamics of women who play full contact sports. Are certain sports made for one gender and not the other? To answer that question, we'll take you to a Rose City Rollers derby bout. We'll hear what players, fans, and one of the co-founders have to say about this issue.
We'll also be hearing from 3 players of the Portland Fighting Phillies, which is one of Portland's all-female, full-contact football teams.
Also on the show, we'll hear from 2 local sociology professors on the issue.
Stay tuned, Portland. We have a great hour of sports radio ahead. And first, we'd like to give you a rundown of some of the scores, both college and professionally, around the Portland metro area.
Starting with soccer. After playing to a 3-3 draw against the New York Red Bulls in their home opener, the Timbers fell to Montreal 2-1 at home last Saturday. Next, they face the Seattle Sounders at home Saturday at 5 p.m.
Moving on to everybody's favorite roller derby, no team from the Rose City Rollers has held an official bout since February 24th, And that was a mini bout between the youth teams. A week from tonight, March 22nd, the Rose City Rollers All-Star team, the Wheels of Justice, will take on the Bridgetown Menace, the All-Star team from the Portland Men's Roller Derby League. Speaking of the men, their season is just getting started, and for more information on the Rollers and their upcoming matches, you can check out rosecityrollers.com.
Moving on to hockey, the Portland Winterhawks continue their dominance with a 4-2 victory over Victoria last Tuesday. They take the ice against the Seattle Thunderbirds as we speak in the Rose Garden.
Moving on to our hometown heroes, the Portland Trail Blazers. They defeated the New York Knicks last night in a 105-90 victory. Damian Lillard continued his stellar Rookie of the Year campaign, dropping 26 points, 2 rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 steals.
The Portland State men's basketball team dropped its final game by a point, 72-71, to Idaho State last weekend to finish the season at 8-20.
Unfortunately, the women's team didn't fare much better. They finished their season on March 9th with a 54-61 loss to Idaho State. That puts the Lady Vikes with a finishing mark of 6 wins and 14 losses on the season.
The University of Portland men's team fell to Loyola Marymount last week in the West Coast Conference Tournament, 65-54, to finish their season at 11-21.
Meanwhile, the University of Portland's women's team lost to St. Mary's in the West Coast Conference Tournament, 54-51, last Friday to finish 11-20 over.